always a symbol, even before Christians, a symbol, the palm, that is, the palm tree, a symbol of triumph, a symbol of victory. Even the Romans would reward their champion of their, what we would call Olympic Games, they would crown them with a crown of palm branches. It would go around their heads. Even in military victories, as they came home, the military would walk through the streets and the people would lay palm branches out, declaring Rome's victory and success. Now, early Christians used the palm branch to symbolize the victory of faithful men in Christ Jesus, overcoming the very enemies of the cross. We read in Scripture this Palm Sunday, this triumphal entry, that's exactly what they did to Jesus. Mark 21, verse 8 says, they laid out palm branches from the trees. Mark 11, verse 8, the same. We read that these people were placing these palm branches along with their garments on the road as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Unfortunately, the praise the people lavished on Jesus was not because they recognized him as Savior over their sin. They welcomed him out of a desire that someone would lead a revolt over their greatest enemy, which was Rome. These are the ones who hailed him as king and said, Hosanna! But when Jesus failed to meet their expectations, when he refused to lead a revolt, a massive revolt against Rome, the crowds quickly turned on him. Within days, their hosannas would be changed to crucify him. Those who hailed him as a hero would reject him and abandon him. The story of Palm Sunday is the story of a king who came as a lowly servant on a donkey, not on a thoroughbred, not in royal robes, but on the clothes of a poor and humble man. Jesus Christ comes not to conquer by force what earthly kings aim to do, but by love, by grace, and by mercy, by the sacrifice on the cross. Jesus came not to conquer nations, but to conquer our hearts and our minds. His message is the one that we need, which is peace with God. Not a better lot in life, but eternal life through the forgiveness of sin. These individuals this morning have already put their faith and trust in Jesus' finished work on the cross. He died for their sins. And he rose from the dead, declaring victory and the peace that we need, that all of us need. They are being baptized to publicly symbolize this decision. They are identifying with their Lord and their Savior. Going under the water symbolizes the death of their life. Their life of sin and unbelief. And coming out of the water, the new life that has been given because of Jesus' resurrection. Every genuine follower of Jesus Christ who has placed their faith and trust in his work should be baptized To not be baptized as a believer is like getting married and not wearing your wedding ring. You just wouldn't do that. It would be embarrassing to the one you say you love that you're not willing to publicly declare it. I'm so thankful for these testimonies. I'm so thankful for the public example that they are all giving to all of us. What it means to obey Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. Doing what Jesus said is always better. So let's get started. Katie, make your way on up. Give the round of applause to the first person, by the way. The first person always, you know, the guinea pig. Make sure that's right up to you.
Okay. Good?
Yep.
Okay. I'm really nervous, so. I haven't even started. I promise it's just nerves. My name's Katie Holstein, and I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony today. I'm a stay-at-home mom to three little kids. Graham is 4. Collins will be 3 next month, and Rory is 18 months. And I've been married to my husband, Jake, for 7.5 years. My life prior to salvation, I grew up in a wonderful home. My family is very close. I have an older brother and a younger sister, so I'm the typical middle child. I am so grateful for my mom and dad and how they raised us. I watched them love each of us through different hard seasons and being 3 very different kids. I also know my mom prayed for us, and I didn't realize the magnitude of that until I became a praying mom myself. I learned a lot from my parents just by their actions and how they live their lives. Not just when I look at all the good memories, but also the not so good ones and the hard that we went through together and how they loved us through that. Especially being a parent myself now, I really look up to my mom and dad, and they always show up. I went to church and did, I went to church and did Bible camps and confirmation. I was even baptized in 8th grade. When I look back at my baptism, I remember my gross braces and being nervous to wear a swimsuit under my t-shirt. And if I'm honest, I remember a fear-based relationship with God because I didn't want to miss out on heaven for being bad. I tried to walk with Jesus, but I let fear, anxiety, and worry consume a lot of my life. I've always been a worry wart, and it got worse the older I got and the more life experiences I had and the more I let sin in. I seemed to keep a tally of wrongs on myself. I really struggled in college with poor choices that I'm not proud of. I sinned a lot and wasn't living my life for Christ. I found myself depressed and anxious most of the time, but I didn't know how to talk about it because I had so much shame and guilt and worried what people would think. Thankfully, God blessed me with my husband, Jake, in the thick of this. We graduated college, got married, and started in the real world. Unfortunately, the choices I had made wrecked havoc on my heart and head and led me to a need to control, an effort to be better. I thought that if I could look put together on the outside, then no one would know the ugly I felt on the inside. If people knew the real me, they wouldn't love me. I had severe low self-esteem. That turned into an eating disorder, clinical depression. And severe panic disorder that escalated from my anxiety. 2 hospital stays later, because of my mental health, there were some puzzle pieces put into place to get me on the right track. I remember thinking, God must have a plan for my life. And part of what helped me move forward was turning to him and realizing I had some baggage that needed taking care of. I had a lot of support during this time from friends and my precious family, especially my mom and dad and Jake. It was ugly and hard many days, and I felt like such a burden. But looking back, I can also see how God worked in my life at that time to bring about good. Even though it felt very dark and messy and confusing, I learned a lot about myself and even about Jesus, and his work in my life then did not return void. Sorry. Shortly after this time, I had left the teaching world to work a health and wellness business from home with the hopes of becoming a stay-at-home mom. This offered me a lot of hope, and I enjoyed what I did and thought I was making a difference to help other people like me. I did this for about 6 years and was blessed in many ways. And then my three greatest blessings came back to back to back. Everything changed when I became a mom. My body, my time, my energy, my marriage, my dreams. New anxieties spiked as I navigated motherhood with littles, a husband who's the hardest working man I know, so gone a lot, and the comparison of all the crunchier moms on social media doing it better than I was, with less red dye 40 and less yelling at their children. Without even realizing it, I had slipped back into my need to control. Instead of turning to Christ's freedom, I turned to my own version of perfection and legalism and effort. I was so afraid to mess up again and have that regret. Shame and guilt still hovered around me. I was only good enough that day if I did all the right things on my to-do list. Read the personal development books, eat the right foods, do the gut health, exercise, be a good friend, take care of my husband, do my devotional, pray the right prayer so God will bless me, cook a homemade meal, be present with my kids, and earn a little income on the side with the business. I couldn't do it all, and I was drowning in the pressure I put on myself. I began to notice myself slipping backwards a little bit at a time. Something was off and missing, and I couldn't figure out what it was, but I knew I didn't want to go back to previous experiences. We had started attending church, honestly, as one of our New Year's intentions as a family. We found High Point Church and had been attending for several months. I reached out to Pastor Greg and asked if he could refer me to a place in the area that has biblical counseling because I felt like I needed more support in the season of life I was in. He asked if I'd be open to speaking with someone from church, and I was very hesitant because my story is ugly and I still had a hard time sharing that I was a hot mess. I asked if this person would be confidential and if they're trained in counseling. He said, trained in the Bible? Yes, it's my wife, Laura. I thought, oh gosh, here we go. The preacher's wife is about to think I'm crazy. But we met and she was lovely and compassionate and generous with her time. She walked me through this study about salvation, which at first I was like, I think I already know Jesus. But I'm so glad she was patient with me and gave me grace in our friendship. I had never been so clearly walked through what it meant to be saved by grace. I knew Jesus with my head all these years, but I never knew him with my heart. It was like a veil had been lifted, and I realized I'll never be good enough, and that's okay because Jesus came for me. It became personal, and I accepted his gift of forgiveness. The part that was missing for me was accepting it and his grace over my life. I remember telling Laura the first time we met that I would see people who had this freedom and joy living in Christ, and I didn't know how they had that. I wanted it so desperately. It's funny that the word I chose for 2023 was joy, not knowing that Jesus would provide it to the fullest. And that's why I'm getting baptized today. Just a couple verses that were impactful to me with my change of heart. Romans 10:9-11. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Since my change of heart, I've had a freedom and joy I've never experienced before. It doesn't mean that I'm happy all the time or never have anxious thoughts. It just means I know that joy and freedom isn't based on my circumstances. And it's mine for the taking every day because it's found in Christ alone. I have found I'm more easily able to rest and slow down. I have found myself wanting to do everything differently, working, parenting, relationships, marriage. I look at my sweet babies differently. I love my husband better. I pray for all of them more intentionally. I'm more willing to serve my family with humility and joy. I still yell more than I'd like to admit. I still struggle with sin and anxiety. Just ask my sister, who gets many nervous texts from me. But I have a security in Christ that I'm confident to cling to. I know what to set my mind on and whose kingdom to seek first. I have been excited to read my Bible and understand the word more clearly. I have a desire to know Jesus' character and apply his teachings to my life. I no longer want the things I thought would bless me, and I'm content with simple living and desire God's plan over my own. I've let go of a lot of pride I didn't realize I was holding on to with my depression and anxiety, as well as forgiveness for myself and leaning into how God made me. I've been involved in Bible studies through church, which has grown my relationship and knowledge of Christ more in the last year than the last 10 years combined. I long for Christian friendships and community, and I'm so thankful for the women who have built me up and mentored me. I had never heard the word sanctification before High Point Church, and I'm grateful for Christ working in me to make me more like him. I'm still a broken mess and need Jesus just as desperately today as I did in my darkest moments. I fall short every day, but Jesus' grace is sufficient for me. And if it's sufficient for me, then it is for you too.
Amen. Thank you, Katie. Courtney and Tyler. So as Courtney and Tyler come up, I forgot who's going first. Yeah, ladies first. Tyler's going to share. Tyler's already actually been baptized. I'm going to show the picture. Can you show that picture up real quick? Tyler just got baptized in Pakistan as he does a wonderful ministry at High Point, actually has done some supporting of Tyler and what he's been doing. And so he called me, or I don't know if we were talking on the phone or whatever, but we were talking about how his saving faith and his a desire to get baptized. And he's like, well, what do you think about me doing it in Pakistan? And I'm like, that would be awesome. And look how awesome that is. So I did ask him if he would just stand up here and just proclaim his testimony, because he's a member of our church, and it'd be great for you guys to get to know him well, because we love that ministry that he does. So anyway, before that, Courtney, come on up.
Good morning. I am Courtney. I live in Newton with Tyler and our two kiddos that are over there. And the first thing I want to focus on is the fact that we are all born in sin, and we revel in our sinful condition until God opens our eyes to see. And I'm thankful for parents that took us to church as a family when I was young. And I'm thankful I recognized my sin and called out to Jesus for salvation in my teens. I couldn't tell you exactly how old I was, because it's been a few years. But over the years as a Christian, one of the most poignant experiences in my life was facing an armed mugger 11 years ago and not having any fear of death, but instead realizing as I prayed that I did actually want to have children. And not all days are that dramatic, but knowing Jesus covers my sin and striving to walk more with him through life is a constant learning and growing process. And now we are raising our children to know Jesus and his saving grace. We've been thankful as a family of four, alongside the parents that took me to church for so many years, and many of my siblings, and several of them are here, to be spiritually fed and growing in faith alongside our High Point family. I am thankful for a chance to publicly proclaim my salvation. And the verse I have been holding lately is Acts 2:25, referencing originally David. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope.
Amen. Thank you, Courtney. Tyler, you got it.
Morning. Doesn't everybody want a 10-foot picture of them in a wet t-shirt up in front of hundreds of people?
Amen.
While I cannot remember a time of not knowing Jesus, or the time in which I first learned and understood he died for my sins, that's mostly because I was raised by a mother that made sure I understood Jesus was my Savior. I can tell you it's been a lifelong journey for me, spending time in Catholic Church, attaching to churches over the last 20 years, then watching them fall apart due to theft, adultery, and pride. I was, as the coined term indicates, church hurt. Most recent memory of my continued evolution in the understanding of Jesus and all he had in store for me was a men's retreat in Texas that I wasn't supposed to be at, or at least I didn't think I was supposed to be at. I was there for somebody else. But at that retreat, they focused on how do you hear God? How do you understand that he's talking to you? The exercises were another step in that evolution of the role God had for me. I just didn't know it at the time. At this retreat, I met another Iowan by chance who was bunking with me and learned what he had been doing with his life. I learned a year or so prior, he had been called by God to the darkest places on the earth to free Christians from slavery. As we spoke, I heard the amazing things that God had put him on earth to do and the awful things that he was involved with, and I was shocked. After 22 years in law enforcement, you get calloused, but the things that he was seeing and talking about were hard to believe. At that time, I told him I wanted to help him, but I didn't understand how, and we both agreed that we'd pray on it. There I was, about 2 hours outside the retreat, and using my newfound communication tools to God that had been there forever, I'm asking him how I can be involved. Over the next 2 weeks, after long conversations with my wife, I found myself being drawn, unlike anything else I had ever experienced in my life, to Southeast Asia to do something about the unforgettable images that were burned into my brain and what Christians are going through daily there. Accepting Jesus as my Savior and that he died for my sins, even at a young age, has led me down a path for 30 years to give me the ability and skills to carry out what I think he's asked me to do in Pakistan. So as of today, the organization, just comprised of 5 people, 2 of which traveled to Pakistan, has freed 2,839 Christian slaves from and becoming Amen. The largest Christian.
Amen.
Becoming the largest Christian freeing organization ever in the country, and that country holds about 4 million Christian slaves. If you have more questions about Christian slavery, come grab me, and I'd be happy to explain it to you. But the work I've seen God do in Pakistan and the belief and faith they have when I'm there, it just drives me further and closer to God. As you saw on the screen, I was baptized a month ago in Pakistan, and the gentleman in the velour jumpsuit next to me is actually the preacher, the pastor for our church there. It was in a livestock watering hole, and it was full of animal messes and straw, which I had in my hair and my ears when I got out. But I'm so thankful for that opportunity to do it in a place like that. And I want to thank High Point for welcoming myself and my family with open arms, being so supportive for us, and we hope to do the same at High Point.
Amen. Tyler, thank you. Good job, man. Courtney, thank you. Diane. Oh, no.
I didn't know we had to hold the microphone.
You want me to hold it for you?
No, I'm okay. Hi, I'm Diane O'Brien, wife, mother, daughter, sister, friend, and recently promoted to grandma. But most importantly, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I grew up in a Christian home, had 2 parents that loved me unconditionally, never really wanted for anything. My mom took us to church, taught us Bible stories, and my parents showered my brother and I with love. I met my husband, Jim, in high school, and right after graduation, we were married and immediately started having our family. Talk about kids raising kids. We became so consumed with what we just called surviving, church and God took a back seat. Honestly, it wasn't even a back seat. They were left on the sidewalk unless there was a holiday or an event. I always believed in Jesus, knew he died for me, but never fully surrendered to his will. I was more focused on what I wanted. I was a good person, a good friend, a good mom, an okay wife, but never all that God intended me to be. For so long, anxiety ruled me. I was constantly worried about everything. You ever see those videos or know of a mom that's contemplating the absolute worst thing that could happen when they're simply driving down the road with their kids in the car? Like, every driver's gonna cause an accident, or what if my tire falls off? Like, what would I do? I was a wreck. Finances and the stress that they can also bring would drive wedges between my husband and I, things that I did have control over and things I didn't. I now realize it was Satan stealing my joy. January 8th, 2020 was the worst day in my life. I lost one of the most important people in my life, my dad. I felt an immense sadness that I just couldn't get out of. Watching a man that was so strong all my life become weak, fall, and need help was something I wasn't prepared for. I didn't know how to navigate that grief, and so I did what I do best. I just became a doer for everyone, get the job done, not let my feelings come out. What I didn't do was turn to God for help. One of the most treasured things I have now from my dad is his Bible. I love turning the pages and reading his highlighted verses and seeing his handwriting. His favorite verse, Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. October 26, 2021, I got a phone call that also changed me. A sweet girl that we met through what I now know was totally God's plan on a cruise was killed in a car accident. She was 18 years old, my own kid's age. She was a very dear friend of my daughter, Kendall, and just 2 months prior, she drove from Oklahoma to stand up for Kendall in her wedding. I couldn't understand why this sweet family was dealing with such loss, but what I can understand is in that loss and the loss of my dad, I began giving everything to God. I didn't have answers, but I knew that they could be found in him. We lost Britt and my dad, and I began discovering my salvation. I started to see and understand just how much God carries us through our trials. James 1:2-4, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and in steadfastness, let it have its full effect, that you may be perfect, completely lacking in nothing. November 2022, our family was hit with another blow in the health scare of our dear son-in-law, Caleb. I again found myself feeling that anxiety creep back in. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't save my daughter from the fear of the what-ifs. But by God's grace alone, Caleb is doing well. And through both of them, I saw how by giving your fears fully to God and following him faithfully, you gain a peace that passes all understanding. I'd heard that saying all my life, and in this trial, I saw it lived out through them. God was showing me to see the world differently, to appreciate the gifts that he's given me and the people in it, to stop worrying about everything and just talk to him. Philippians 4:6-7, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. We live in a world that tries to tell us that we alone are enough. Only Jesus is enough. He is the one that leads us through the troubled times and the true source of our celebration during the good times. He is all the good. He is the definition of love, and through all my trials, one thing remained the same, him. He was always there, waiting for me to surrender and put my full trust in him, and to finally say, I know and I trust that you died for me and rose again so I may have everlasting life. What a gift we have, someone to take all of our problems, struggles, and worries to, that takes it all and tells us, even and with all of this, I love you and I want you. I know that there is nothing I bring to the table, yet he invites me anyway. I know I'm completely and forever broken without him and fully forgiven solely by the work done on the cross for me. From one of my favorite songs, King of Kings, it says, and by his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free for the love of Jesus Christ who has resurrected me. The peace that comes from knowing that, surrendering to it, and understanding a love like no other is something if you haven't experienced yet, I pray that you do today. And for those that do know, I'm blessed to call you my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Man. Like I always say, these are always the best preachers every Sunday. Jordan, come on up. There you go, buddy.
I was raised in a somewhat Christian home. My mom is Christian, but my stepdad isn't. When I was a young boy, I didn't really know who Jesus really was. My mom would read these children Bible stories once in a while to me. I wasn't ever really interested in learning what Jesus had done for us. Throughout my life, up until the end of 2020, I only attended two different churches. My mom would try to convince me to go to church so I would learn, or I could learn about our Lord and Savior. Instead, I only acted like I wanted to learn about God. But in reality, I chose alcohol and porn as my idols. I couldn't care less about learning the Bible. At the beginning of 2021, on a Saturday morning, I was just laying in bed. I felt a feeling inside of me. It wasn't a feeling like you're getting sick or you're freezing cold. It just felt way different. I couldn't explain it. I don't know why, but it felt like Jesus was trying to reach out to me, like he was trying to bring my attention towards him. After I had that experience, I asked my mom if we could go to church so that I could learn and get closer with Jesus. We found a church to go to that very next day. The church we found that Sunday, we attended attended for almost a month or two in 2021. One Sunday, we went to church, and right before church service was about to end, Pastor Brandon Beeman said, I want you all to close your eyes, and I want you to raise one of your hands in the air once I ask you this question. He asked us, are you saved? Do you believe that your Lord and Savior died on the cross for your sins? Have you bowed down on your knees and asked for forgiveness for all the sins you have done? Have you put your full trust and faith in him? If you said yes to all four of those questions, I want you to keep your hands down. For the ones that didn't understand what I'm talking about and are here for the first time, or for the ones that want to get closer to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand up high. I'll pray for the ones that do raise their hands. I was one of those people that raised my hand to show I wanted to get closer to Jesus. Later that day, I picked up my Bible and read it for the first time. A month and a half passed by, and I met my beautiful wife, Katie. We only dated for half a month, and she asked if I would be interested in attending her church with her. The first day I went to High Point Church up until marriage counseling, I was struggling. Yes, I was trying to understand and learn a lot of new things. I kept on praying, but was getting frustrated, upset, and trying to do everything I could to get God's attention. I felt like he wasn't there for me when I wanted him to be there. I wasn't being patient with him. I was having a hard time understanding the Bible, and I was slowly giving up. So when our marriage counseling started up with Pastor Darren, things began to change for me. Darren did more than just counsel us. When we met each week, he helped explain the Bible in a way I understood it. He challenged me to read scripture out loud and to pray out loud instead of keeping it all silent and private with myself. I'm truly blessed and thankful to have Pastor Darren in my life to help and pray for me when I need it most, and even when I don't think it need it. There's one more person that I'm blessed and thankful to have in my life. That person is Tim Soy. He's been the best father-in-law I could have ever prayed for. I've been looking up to him as a role model since the very beginning. He's given me guidance and wisdom in what it means to be a strong Christian man and husband, and now father. In November of 2022, I don't remember the exact day it was, I was listening to Michael Todd on YouTube as I was working. It was almost the end of the day, and Pastor Michael said, I want you to think about when you die and no longer exist on earth. I want you to think, where will you end up right now, today? Would you end up in heaven or in hell? Have you put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you surrendered yourself to God? If you haven't yet, let me help you out, and we will walk through it together. That really got me thinking, where would I end up if I was no longer on this planet? I thought to myself, I would have gone to heaven for the godly stuff I thought I was doing. I even thought I was doing right in life. I didn't realize I was missing the big piece of the picture until I got a feeling inside my gut that was telling me I hadn't put my faith in Jesus for salvation. I hadn't yet put my trust and faith in him. That day, I prayed and put my faith and trust in Christ. I understand that I am a sinner and that I still sin every day. I needed to ask for forgiveness for what I did in the past and needed Jesus to save me. I'm not perfect, far from it. I'll always repent and ask for forgiveness for whatever mistakes I make and for all my wrongdoings. Romans 3:23-24, for all have sinned and come short to the glory of God, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus, and he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Now the real question, am I saved? Yes, I am saved. I know he sent Jesus to die on the cross for me so that I can be saved from my sin and have eternal life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you.
Amen. Great job. One more, Carson. You are the only one that I've ever had to look up to. Look at that. Not even you, Bo. Not yet.
Go
hi. Get him, Carson.
I'm Carson. I'm 17. I live in Reynolds. I have a loving mom, loving dad, two amazing siblings, amazing extended family. When I was raised, I went to church regularly on the weekends. We would skip sometimes, but leading up to my salvation, I believed that there was a God, but I didn't put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ that he died for my sins. I feel like one big moment leading up to that was at a youth camp. I sat down and had a talk with Pastor Darren, and that was a big moment for me. It just, like, helped me open my eyes and showed me where to go. During my salvation, I don't remember the exact date or time, but I do know that it happened, and I do know that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior into my heart, and I do believe that he died for my sins. Since my salvation, I see opportunities that God presents to me through challenges. The end of 2023 was a really hard time for me, and I saw that as a challenge, and I feel like that was presented to me by God to make me a better person and a stronger believer. Since my salvation, I've noticed sin a lot more, and I've tried to avoid it actively. I tried to stay away from it, and I know that Jesus died for my sins. And
Amen. Good job, buddy. You stay here. Take off your shoes. All right, Carson's first. By the way, a fruit of his salvation. He said he loves his brothers and sisters. Mark that one down. That is a fruit. All right, Carson's going to be first here. So I'm going to have his dad come up. And you can go ahead and jump in. Don't go under yet. Face that way if you can. Face that camera there so people can see you. There you go. I know it's a privilege for your dad to baptize his son. And so at this time, Josh, I want you to baptize your son in the name of the Father. Go ahead and grab him. Make sure he goes under, otherwise I'm pushing him under. But if you could baptize him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hold on. Hey. I knew that was going to happen. Do not slip up here. No, you're right. You're right. Here, I'm going to grab this for you. Great job, Carson. You can just follow that way over through there. All right. Courtney, Come on up. I won't push you down like that. Go ahead and face that direction as you sit down there. Courtney, I'm so thankful for your testimony and your faith in Jesus Christ. It is a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, all the way down. There you go. Good job. See, they fought. No one likes to fight to die, right? But that's exactly what we do when we're baptized. We're dying to our sin. Okay. Who do I have next? Diane. No. Yeah. I'm sorry. Jordan. Yes. Jordan, come on up. Well, I went in the reverse order, didn't I? Messed that one up. Tim, you got Jordan? Okay. Yeah, I do. I'll grab this. Tim, I'll let you pray for him. There he goes. And then just follow right through there. Diane. Is Kendall dunking yet? Sweet. Kendall, you know what to do. Is that nice? Praise the Lord. Good idea. How cool is that? A daughter baptizing her mom. I love it. I love it. Katie, come on up. I think I got everyone. Carson, Jordan, Diane, Courtney. Perfect. Sit down and face that way. Yep. All right. You don't need that. Don't drop that in there. We do not want to do that. No, it's not like that. Don't be worried about that. Katie, it is an absolute privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right. Well, hey, let's give everyone a round of applause one more time. Why don't you stand up? If you get an opportunity to go to one of these individuals and just encourage them out of their obedience. But I would say this, if you are here this morning and you desire that very same saving faith in Jesus Christ, any one of those individuals would love to talk to you. If you want to come see me, come see me. I would love to share with you so that you could celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday for the first time with a new set of eyes. Let's sing.